Bibles and too many books up here. Take our Bibles and turn to the 3rd John. Almost to the book of the Revelation. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. The ABC class spent 2 weeks on the character of Gaius in 3rd John. And our lesson was on Gaius, one who walks in truth. But I wanted to, and I wanted to concentrate on him because he was the character that we were looking at. But there are two other characters found in this little short letter of 14 verses. And I wanted to spend a little time, one in the middle of this little letter, and look at it tonight. One of those things, the Bible says that we look into the Word of God and we see ourselves, and we should make sure that we don't walk away being forgetful hearers, see what we are and look at it. And so tonight we're just kind of look at some things and see where they fall. And so let's read the book of 3 John. Anybody? Everybody got it? Okay, we're good to go. Oh, 14 verses of it. All right, here we go. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. The elder is John, the Apostle John, and probably by the time this was written, he was probably the last of the main disciples alive at this point. John was quite old. In fact, you remember before the ascension, Jesus was telling Peter, before you're done, they're going to take you where you don't want to go. And he said, what about John? Well, I said, if he gets to live until I come back, what's that to you? But they said that some people thought that's what that was the case. But the fact is, John was, as tradition says, boiled in oil, didn't die. And they didn't know what to do with him, so they put him on the Isle of Patmos. And of course, that's where he got the revelation of Jesus Christ. And some people say the revelation of the Apostle John, they're revealing Jesus Christ in that book. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. But anyway, he was probably the old man of the bunch at this point. And so he says the elder. He doesn't need to say, everybody just kind of knew, the old man. He's the old man, all right? He's the elder. Verse number 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And watch this verse 8. We ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. He says there's going to be folks who are going to come by who are part of the body of Christ. You may not know them, but they come by, they come through. We ought to receive them. We ought to take care of them. We ought to be fellow helpers to one another. We need each other. That's part of what being a part of the body of Christ. But look at verse 9. It says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. And I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, our friends. Salute thee. Greet the friends by name. I like that. Greet the friends by name. We're going to pray, and we're going to talk about another path than truth. Another path than truth. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, you said that they were to preach the gospel to every creature, and we are too. Baptize them, and then to teach them all to observe all things whatsoever you have commanded you, that you've commanded us. And so, Lord, we're going to see some things here this evening. And Lord, may we fine-tune our walk with you just a little bit. We want to walk in truth. Walk in truth. But Lord, sometimes we can see that we're not in truth because we're walking someplace else other than truth. So Lord, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. May your Holy Spirit move. May your Holy Spirit be the oil that allows it to sink into our heart, draws us to yourself, that we may be more like Jesus. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I need my Sunday school members to kind of bear with me a few minutes here as I bring everybody up to speed. There's a clear contrast presented between the prosperous Christian, Gaius, in this book, and the proud Christian, which is Diotrephes, and the pleasant Christian, which is Demetrius. The prosperous Christian has been blessed because he walks in truth. Now, he may not have all the things he would want. He may not have a big house or a big car or a big horse or whatever it was. But he's prospering in his way. We quoted it this morning. When we meditate on the word day and night, it says, whatsoever doeth shall prosper. Joshua 1:8 says, you observe to do all that's written there, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. And again, good success, listen, good success is raising a good family. Good success is having a good marriage. Listen, you may not, in fact, it's better, listen, it's better to just kind of have a simple, I forget how it says in Proverbs, but instead of having the stalled ox, instead of having a great big steak dinner, it's almost better to have a dinner of herbs, I think it says, where there's peace therein, or quietness there is at the table. You know, it's better to not do the second job and be able to spend some time with your family and build your family where they need to be and come up with some kids with some integrity and have a family and a wife that loves you and not wondering where you are tonight. And it's better to do that and have a little less than it is to have a whole lot more. And then you come home, you don't know what in the world's going on. You don't know what's going to happen when you walk in through the door. Gaius prospered. Now we saw the elder in that first verse. That was John. We saw the encouragement. He says, I wish you could prosper financially and physically as much as you're prospering spiritually. He says, you're really coming along. He says, I'm seeing God work in your life. And then if you kind of remember this little outline here for my Sunday school lesson, there's exaltation, there's rejoicing, because it says there's good report. The truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. We rejoice when the brethren came and testified. Listen, it's good to have a good testimony. I tell you, it's not so good not to have a good testimony. In fact, now, don't take this wrong. I'm going to tell you to stop coming to church. But I tell you what, you got folks who come to church all the time, they got a bad testimony. It almost gives a bad light on everything that God does, including the church. Now, I'm not saying don't come to church. We come to grow. I understand. Keep coming. But fact is, he says, rejoice because he says you walkest in truth. He says, I'm thrilled to death that you're walking in truth. He says, verse 4 says, I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth. That word walk means to tread through life. Tomorrow we need to walk in truth. We need to get up in the morning and decide we're going to walk in truth. Lunchtime, we get a chance to sit down and get a little lunch and you bow your head and thank God for the food. Give yourself to Him again to walk in truth. You get ready to do it again. Listen, and by the way, listen, somebody comes busting in your office or wherever it is and they're giving you what for? In your heart, pray again, Lord, help me to walk in truth. Walk in truth. He says, you walk in truth. Number four, we found out there was some evidence that he walked in truth. Look at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. He's consistent. He does faithfully. He says, it doesn't matter who it is. Not some guy who's trying to schmooze. It's some guy he's never seen. Maybe he'll never see him again. But he says he's going to deal faithfully with those people. In fact, it says no matter whether they're brethren or strangers. So he's no respecter of persons, just like God, just like our Savior. He says he loves. In verse 6, it says, which have borne witness. It says the people have borne witness of thy charity, thy love in action. Again, let me say it again. The reason they use the word agape, that means love, but they translate a charity, is because you don't expect to get anything back when you give a charity. And that's what real love is. Sometimes I don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. Why? Because you're not getting out of it what you expected. Now, first of all, marry somebody you like. That just makes sense. Marry somebody you like to be around. Not just because they're good looking, but when the good looking fades, you can't stand the sight of them. Well, that's a problem. But marry somebody you like. But the fact is, when we choose to love, love can't fail because love never fails. If it's love, because love is of God. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. And he's saying, listen, this guy walks in truth. He walks in the truth. He loves people. And then between verses 9 and 11, he talks about someone who's not necessarily walking the same way. We'll get to there in a second. And then in verse 11, he gives an exhortation. He says, stay away from evil. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. We've got to make a decision where we're going to be. We need to stay with the truth. It says in the verse 11, he that doeth good, middle of verse 11, is of God. But he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Doesn't spend much time with the Lord. Doesn't recognize what the Lord's supposed to be. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time. Let me show you here a few things, and we'll talk about Diotrephes. First of all, he says, my people, my children, walk in truth. So the question is, what is truth? Well, again, for my Sunday school lessons, you know this, folks. Jesus is the truth. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the truth. Secondly, God's Word is truth. Christ Jesus is His Word personified. John 17:17 says, He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. He says, listen, I'm praying for these people because I'm going to be leaving and they're going to take the ministry. Lord, he's praying for. That's the Lord's prayer for him. And by the way, you go back and read it. It also includes us, those who will come. But he says, sanctify them, set them apart, make them what you want them to be, God, through truth. Thy word is truth. Now I'm going to ask a couple questions real quick. Does truth change? See, truth is not circumstantial. Truth is not situational. Truth is truth. In fact, we don't really have to walk in truth until it's hard to walk that way. Does truth change? No. Psalm 117 says, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise you, the Lord. He doesn't change the rules. In the book of Proverbs, it's talking about the strange woman. It says, her way are changeable, that thou mayest not know the ways of life. I've seen a lot of guys who get hooked up with some woman. She's always changing the rules on him. He thinks he's got it right, and then she changes the rule again. Listen, there are people all over the world who keep us. Sometimes I think the IRS is like that. They keep changing the rules on, you know, what's this and what's that and is that and what is that. And you say, I don't know, just give them the money. I don't know what to do. You know, you don't kind of throw up your hands. I don't know what the rules are. Psalm 119 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Watch this. We do not have, nor can we have, extenuating circumstances where we can justify sidestepping truth. Truth is truth. Does truth change? No. What does it mean to walk in truth? Now watch me. This is important. What does it mean to walk in truth? He says, nothing makes me happier. I rejoice because my children walk in truth. Now, if you might need to mark this down. To walk in truth, the Word of God, which of course exemplifies Jesus, to walk in truth means that truth dictates every move and every decision. To walk in truth means that I'm going to do what this book says, the best that I know. And meantime, I'm delighting in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, right? He delights in the Lord. And then he makes his way prosperous. You cannot say we're walking in truth if truth is over there, but we're doing something over here. Well, I don't know all about the truth. Good. But are you walking in it? Do you allow truth to dictate what you do and how you do it? Truth dictates no matter what the situation is. Truth dictates no matter what the opposition is. Well, you don't know, it got a little hard, and I know you're supposed to, but, you know, all these people started coming at me, you know. Truth did not change. Those who live godly shall suffer persecution. Now, don't go out looking for it. You don't have to. It'll come finding you. But we need to walk in truth. Truth dictates in whatever the situation is. Well, you don't know my circumstance. No. Truth dictates no matter the opposition. Truth dictates no matter the severity. Well, you know, I could do it there, but I mean, it really got tough. So I kind of thought, well, I better back off. Truth does not change. Another question. What does it look like when we do not walk in truth? A path other than truth. Well, then we're going to look at that in verse 9. Number one, that was my introduction. Sorry about that. Number one who isn't walking in truth, and I'm going to say it this way, at a particular time. You know, sometimes we are doing okay, and sometimes we forget. Paul says he dies daily, dies to self. It's not me. I am crucified with Christ. Never yet I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He's living in us, living through us. That's saying, watch, I'm dead. Dead people can't make decisions. Watch this. Dead people do not get offended. Dead people never say anything that's mean and nasty and derogatory. So I have to every morning wake up and die to self and let him live in me. What I'm saying is I'm letting Jesus make my decisions for me. That's called walking in truth. That makes sense? We're walking in truth. I'm no longer making the decision. Well, you know, if I would make a decision, listen, you guys don't want me to be God. You wouldn't want me to be God. No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't want you to be God either. I'm not merciful enough to be God. I'm not gracious enough to be God. And you aren't either. Now watch this. First thing I want you to see in verse 9. One who isn't walking in truth at a particular time in his life wants to have position. You see, if I die to self, I've given away my position. Right? I have put Christ on the throne of my heart. He has the position, the authority. One who is not walking in truth at that time, when they're not walking in truth, they want position. Look at verse 9. John writes, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. That loveth to have preeminence is kind of like one big, long, connected word in there. And it means fond of being the first. Fond of being first. Ambitious of being distinctive. Likes to be the predominant one. He says he loveth the preeminence. And he who loveth the preeminence, watch, receiveth us not. Doesn't let him in. You know why? Doesn't want the competition. Doesn't like others in who may look better than he does. Or may have more influence than he does. But wait a minute. It's not my influence, it's his influence that we're looking for. Now watch this. If my desire is for him to have influence in my life and your desire is for him to have influence in your life, guess who's the boss all around? He is, and everybody's happy. This man was more concerned about himself than about the ministry and the good of all concerned. It was more important about him being the boss, being the preeminence. Look, watch. Diotrephes, that word Diotrephes, sometimes it seems to fall in place, and this time that name means nourished by Zeus. Now, you remember your high school mythology in class and all that stuff? Zeus is Jupiter. It's God. It's the big guy. Of course, they all have their faults, but he was nourished, brought up in the faith of the superstitions of the world. Jesus said, you know, with the world of the Gentiles, they are all looking to try to get power. That's not the way it works with us, guys. He that will be chief among you, let him be servant of all. So this guy had a whole lot of the world and its philosophy in him. The fruit of the Spirit is not preeminence. It's meekness. Not weakness, but meekness. Saying, I know who God is and I know who I am. And I want God to run the show, not me. Watch this. His disassociation with truth was so bad. Watch. He says, John, the Apostle John. Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. John, whom Jesus said on the cross, take care of mama. That John who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation, that John, he said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Can you imagine? This guy is somehow has some power in their church, and the Apostle John writes them a note, says, oh, it's from John, I'll fill you on him. We don't need him around here. We're all right by ourselves. We don't need that. We're all right. We don't need him. Received us not. He didn't even want Apostle John in his church. Listen, if you like being the big shot, you don't like having a bigger shot around to encumber things and outnumber you. Diotrephes is rejecting and ostracizing someone who's getting a special revelation from God. Probably because if John comes, truth comes. And with truth comes light. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You know what I think? He didn't want John to show up because he's going to go turn on the light. And everybody's going to know Diotrephes for what he really is, and he's going to get messed up. Now, I'm going to say this nice. There's probably some folks here who are kind of here out of obligation. There always are some, but I'm going to assume that most of you are here because you wanted to hear the Word of God again today. You know what you said? Turn some more light on. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to see more of what I need to do. I want to see what the light turns on. If there's something I need to get rid of, I want to get rid of it. Turn the light on. We just got to talk to the deacons meeting and about we got this bus out here. It's not big, but it's a kind of nice little road bus. We said, well, you know what? Wait, maybe we should offer to see if anybody wants to go down to the SOAR conference. And we talked about it today. I think we almost got it filled up. You know what that means? They're going to go all the way down to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. In fact, we might have more people than we have seats. We might have to take the van to haul the luggage in or something. I don't know. We'll see. The other van. But listen, they're going to go all the way down there to do what? Turn the light on. They're not going down for a show. Now, maybe y'all signed up before you know what goes on down there. But you show up there about 10 o'clock in the morning and they preach till noon. And then they have some seminars in the afternoon. You learn how to do the work of the Lord. And you get stopped about 3 o'clock. You go back, get a sanctified nap. And then you come back and you have, after dinner, you come back for 2 more hours of preaching. And the next morning, you get up and do it again. Next morning, you do it again. You say, oh, my soul, you got to go to church. No, you don't have to. You get to. We're going to go down and sit in the light and bask in the light. Listen, I like sitting under preaching and feeling the heat, just like some people like to go down to the beach and feel the heat. I'll be honest with you, I don't like being out in the sun. I like the warmth sometimes, but I'm just not going to lay there and let them bake. You know, but you know, that's your business. But the fact is, I like to go down. I like to hear I want the Word of God rushing over me. I like to feel the heat once in a while, because you know it's going to start showing me where the problems are, and I'm going to be a little closer to Him. But see, listen, one who isn't walking in the truth doesn't want to come to the light where the truth is, because they want to be just like they are. They want to have their position. People like this want to keep truth out, at least that which may make them look bad or reveal what they really are, because they're going to be seen for how shallow they are. However, if they cannot keep the light of truth out, then they're going to feel like they have to flee, because truth will reveal what they are. I believe it was John that said, they've gone out from us because they were not of us. Birds of a feather flock together. You know, if you like truth, you like being in the light, you're going to like being around people who like truth, who like to be in the light. That's just the way it is. Now, some people serve it up a little differently and dish it up a little differently. I understand that. All those kind of things. But wherever it is, they're going to want to be under the hearing of the Word of God. They're going to want to hear what's going on. They're going to see what's going on. They want something to happen. Listen. They may want the preeminence because they truly think they're better than others, which brings pride. Some people. But only by pride cometh contention, the Bible teaches us. Maybe they want position for the sake of control, not so much to serve. When they do serve, they want to have their way or no way. When they do serve, they may want folks to know how valuable they are. They threaten, well, if I can't have my way, maybe I should just leave. But then you got the nice Christians not wanting to make them feel bad or make people feel they need to leave, but acquiesce to them. Person gets his way, continues to thwart the prosperity of the ministry. We've got to be careful. In an effort to offer their superior insight and knowledge, they exercise pride, and the result is actually contention, which hinders the productivity rather than helping us. And one who isn't walking in truth at a particular time wants to have position. If you get to the point where you think, you know what, they just don't understand how smart I am. Well, why do we have deacons? We sit down and talk things out. I was thinking about the other day. We were looking about the security for the new building, and we're actually going to be able to come in, and you can go to a window, and Miss Janice or whoever's there is working at the secretary can see you, and then they can buzz you in, you know. And the teachers will have a little card they swipe. You can't get in and out during the day. It's all secure for everybody, both Sunday and for the school and all those kind of things. And we were talking about that, and the builder, and I knew it was going to be expensive. The builder had given us some suggestions and someone they were going to use, and had given a price. Now, some years ago, Ron Klinger, when we talked about doing a security here, he suggested a company, and we checked it out. It actually was a much better deal, and they have worked out very well for us. And I didn't know what it was, so I probably would have done something else totally different. But Ron suggested Colson Security, and so we put him in. Well, we went back to him to see if you put something in a new building. And the fact is, we went back to Colson. It's going to save us $8,000. $8,000! I mean, I thought, well, okay. In fact, it's $8,000 that we're going to get a couple of things that the other ones weren't going to give us. And they've been just fine. They've done exactly what we need. So the fact is, what my point is this. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. We need to realize, listen, I don't know everything. You don't know everything. There's some things that you know that I don't know and vice versa. And so we don't necessarily have to have the preeminence. It can't always be my way. Might be smart for us to listen. See if there's other options. Number two, one who's not walking in truth is constantly speaking their mind. They want position, but they're constantly speaking their mind. They're vying for that position. Look at verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds. That word deed is something we work hard at. It's not just, well, this happened. This is kind of a priority in their life there. Something they work hard at. He says, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. And what are they? Prating against us with malicious words. The fact is, we got to be careful we don't do this. But we also got to be careful, not judgmental, but careful following those who do these things. You just got to be careful. We see it here and there and yon. You've got to be careful. The word prating is interesting. It says they're prating against us with malicious words. That word prating really means to bubble. You know, bubbles. You know what they are? A big bunch of nothing. Looks like something, but there's nothing there but a little hot air. Means to bubble. It goes on to say, tattler, babbler, one who trifles over things, nitpicks, berates people idly. In other words, they kind of critique with no good reason or real end in sight. It just comes out critical and discouraging, and they just always want to make sure they've got another option. And when we do that, we're not walking in truth. Can you imagine Jesus and his 12 disciples? What's the matter with you, John? You don't have a razor? Shave your face. I can't believe what you said. Watch this. Jesus, James, did you see what John did? I don't think I would have done it that way. Here. Now, wait a minute. We died to self, right? So we're walking in truth. We've taken ourself here, and we're saying, Lord, you tell me what I need to do, how I need to do it, and when I need to do it. I'm going to walk in you. He says, prating, bubbling, discouraging words, malicious words, hurtful. To call into question one's character for the sake of causing damage. Maybe you don't know what you're talking about here. I have experience. And usually it makes no difference to the person. They'll take on most anybody. This guy was taking on John. Many people such as this establish their own truth. Their truth, quote unquote, may be some habit that they have in their own life that they're familiar with and thus comfortable with, and it's the way everyone else should do it. Well, this is the way we do it. Well, where I grew up, this is what we did. And we got to be careful. We can get into that because it's cultural. Do you realize there are some very, very good Christians in this world who don't wear a tie and a hanky just for show, not for blow? You don't have to wear a tie and have a hanky to be a good Christian. I just like to dress like this. I show respect to the Lord. I want to put my best on, and this is what I consider best. Okay? Now, we have some leadership requirements around here, and somebody's got to make the decision. But the fact is, it's not right because this is the way we've always done it. But wait a minute, it's not necessarily right just because it's new. But some things really don't matter a hill of beans. It's just the way we do it. And so sometimes truth is, this is the way we've always done it. So it's almost like we make that equal to truth. Their truth may be some tradition to which they hold and they have made equal with the Word of God in their lives. Some tradition. I've had people get upset with us, with me. I don't think anybody said anything to anybody else or not, because we don't have a great big Christmas tree in here at Christmas. Now, the fact is, once the choir, when we first came here, the choir was real small, and we filled up, Miss Kathy knew how to do this, it looked like a winter wonderland. We had Christmas trees around, and I had no problem with that. Didn't bother me a bit. As everything got bigger, we kind of squeezed her out. I hate to say it. We kind of squeezed her out and didn't give her much space to work with. By the time you get the orchestra and the choir and the drama program, kind of squeezed out. I've had people email me and said, I saw that there was, a little Christmas tree or someplace we had around here, and they gave me a hard time because we had one. You get shot from both sides. Do you realize the Bible doesn't say a doggone thing about a Christmas tree? I had somebody tell me that the Bible says something about a Christmas tree. Now, I don't know, maybe it's there. I have not found it. Now, we've got to be careful that we don't make tradition our truth. And if we're not careful, we make tradition our truth, and before long, we're running around preeminent because, you know, we've established truth, and since our tradition is truth, it's not their tradition, then they don't know truth because tradition is what I think, the truth is what I think it is. So I'm going to fill them in and let them know what truth really is. Now, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Wanting the preeminence. One other thing. Maybe their truth may simply be that which serves their interest at the time. Truth doesn't change. Truth doesn't change. Listen, there also has a, that sometimes there's a tendency to kind of flip-flop back and forth. If you go this way, they go that way. If you go that way, they go this way. In other words, if you say it's black, they say it's red. You say it's red, they say it's black. I heard a guy one time, we had one of these down in Open Door. I wasn't in on all of the deacons' meetings, but we had a fellow, and I'd seen him do it. He kind of let me in on some things. And he felt it was his job to be the dissenting vote, to keep everybody straight. Just my job to make sure that everybody's got themselves straight. My job to be the dissenting vote. Don't be the dissenting vote. Hey, if we're all in tune in the same spirit, don't you think the Spirit's going to tell everybody the same thing? He didn't tell you something, it's them something else, to see if he can stir up a problem. God doesn't do that. They want to make sure that everybody knows how much they know and how they have the answer, that they should be in charge. They want everyone to know that others, including the others in charge, are delinquent, ill-prepared, possibly even detrimental to the cause. Listen, whether consciously or subconsciously, sometimes we're not careful, we can hinder the effectiveness of others and can thus destroy our own credibility doing this, lessen the influence, and create a void in leadership that they can fill sometimes. When get somebody so they can fill. Listen, in this way, this person can maintain the preeminence. We've got to be careful. I've seen women do this in families. But sometimes, of course, the men won't stand up and be the man. Being a man doesn't mean being mean. It means doing right first. That's what a leader does. Number three, hang tight with me. One who's not walking in truth tends to push away truth. Very few people can please these people except those that listen to them. Now, fact is, we have probably all been here. Take your halos off and come to church with the rest of us. We probably have all done it somewhere. He says, look here. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. He says, that's not all of it. He's not content just talking about this stuff. But not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. He talks about so, but he finally said, listen, don't you even come in here. Don't you bring these people in here. He took it a step further. He says, listen, he's not just content about bad-mouthing them. He says, neither doth he himself receive the brethren that were received to admit into the mix. Don't you even come in here and mix around here with us. There's a certain exclusivity. There we go. These people tend to think they are abnormally spiritual. And watch. And he says, look at the verse. And forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. He says, listen, he's not content with just talking bad about them, but he says he doesn't want them in the church. And he gets upset with those who do want these other folks in the church. And if they're going to do that, he wants to kick them out with the other ones. Some pastors call this purging. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can purge the church all the way down to nothing. They don't agree with me, I'm the pastor. I'm the man of God. Come on now. Listen, you get a board full of folks who are looking for the things of God, and the fact is, those checks and balances can keep us straight. But we all have to realize who we are before God Himself. We all have to die daily and put Jesus in the driver's seat, not your co-pilot. Listen, sometimes when we get like this exclusivity here, they just want the spiritual people. Of course, that's the ones who agree with them. They don't mind if others get saved and join a church, just not our church. They don't want too many people because we're going to lose control. Listen, watch this. I'm hoping, I'm praying that, of course, not only do we need this building out here, but that the church will grow because we have access to the building to grow. But if we grow, now hang on tight here. This is the core of the family right here. If it grows, the dynamic of the church changes. It has to. Now, listen, folks, if we're not careful, we're going to say, but I like it like it is. Let's just leave it alone. Listen, when we get to heaven, I can be at your house on Friday. You come over to my house on Saturday. We'll have a good time. Well, we could all do that. You got your special friends and so forth. But right now, we got a job to do. The job is to win as many folks to Christ as we can. Bring them in here so they can learn to observe all that is written in the Word of God. That's what we're here for. I know. You say, well, that's not quite what I'm looking for. It doesn't matter. Wait a minute. Take me out of the driver's seat, die to self, put Christ in here. What would he say? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Let the children come unto me. Because unless you come as a little child, you cannot enter therein. There's a different perspective. There's going to come a day, as it gets bigger, that you're going to call, and I'm not going to be able to come. One of my assistants are going to come. I may be dealing with something else totally different. It may happen. There may be times when I can get there. But it's bound to be a time that's going to change. You say, well, I like the church like it is. I do too. But there's somebody else out there that might like it too. And somebody else. We got to watch exclusivity. Now watch this. If it gets bigger and I start turning things over to my assistants, I don't have as much control over it as I once did. So what I got to do is teach my men, get a hold of God, and as an arm of the pastor's office, do what I tell them to do. But things can't be as controlled. And you see, if my goal is to have the preeminence, then we're stuck right where we are. Because this is about all I can handle. But if we change how we do this, then I can pastor that as much as I can, pastor the staff pastors the people. I'm here, you need me, you call me. But the fact is, there are going to be times when you can't do it. You say, well, I'm not sure I like this. Listen, we've got a job to do, and we need to do the job. Listen, I'm not going to be out playing golf 3 or 4 days a week. I'm not going to be in my office with my feet on the desk sipping coffee. And right now, we're fine right where we are. But the fact is, I'm hoping it'll grow. But the fact is, if I just want the preeminence, then I'm just going to stick it right here. Let's not go out and get anybody. I know what I've got. I know what I'm working with, and I'll just control this little thing we got right here. There's a problem with that. So listen, these people want to keep it exclusive. But watch this. They're the opposite of what Gaius was. No respecter of persons, not willing that any should perish, open to all, charity for all. We're not careful, we get to the point where we say, well, I don't want more folks coming to church and messing things up. That's not where we are. And sometimes, if you're not careful, they'll get upset with those who do want to welcome others into the church. And we're not careful, we want to get rid of those who want to bring others in. Got a bad problem there. Let me give you a summary here. Look at verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. We have seen Gaius, who walks in truth and thus walks in love, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, putting himself out for the sake of others. But we've also seen Diotrephes, who wants the preeminence, who wants to push out anybody who's trying to come in and take over. John says, if they appear to be evil in their ways, then we need to make sure we do not encourage them in such things by listening, and certainly not by doing as they do. He says, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And see, we can see who's walking in truth by whether they walk like Jesus. Look what it says in the second half of that verse. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. That word seen is an interesting word too. It means to stare at, to study, to discern. He's saying these people, they still don't get who God is. God is not establishing museums. He's establishing hospitals. That's what he's establishing. You ever been to a hospital? It's hard to get sleep in a hospital because they're dealing with things all the time. There's emergencies here, emergencies there. They're trying to take care of this. They're trying to get this person so they can stand on their own. Sometimes it stinks. Sometimes it's not pleasant. It's not someplace you want to go and hang out and have a coffee. Hey guys, you want to let's go out tonight. Let's go down to the hospital and hang out. Now, Lord willing, the church is a little more warm and welcoming than a hospital. But I think you get my point. He says, listen, if they're not following that which is good, don't follow them. If they're following that which is evil, don't follow them. And we can see it by what they do. Listen, chances are, since we are sinners and thus selfish, we've all fallen into this position at one time or another. And if we have, he says, let's get out of the path of the flesh and walk in truth. He says, I'm just so thrilled that my children walk in truth. But there is another path other than truth that we can choose to walk in. He says, don't walk there. Don't walk there. If you have, get out of it. Let's not follow others who slip into this way. They haven't seen God recently. Now, don't condemn them. Don't start doing what they were doing, critiquing. I'm not saying that. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Diotrephes was probably someone who had some influence in the church. Maybe a novice who got puffed up. Was put in position before he was ready. Maybe someone who others looked up to, but after a while became full of himself. We need to follow after good. Let me ask, would John be pleased, and I'm going to put it this way so we all think about it, would John be pleased as he watched you walk in truth, or would John be headed our way to straighten us out? If he did straighten us out, would we take it? You know, John knew of what he talked of. It was James and John, the sons of thunder. The one who wanted to call down fire and kill those people. Those Samaritans were not receiving Jesus. And then he walked long enough with Jesus, he realized what love is. Listen, he's speaking from experience. And to be honest with you, I am, probably am too. We need to love. John had no greater joy than to hear his children walk in truth. But there's another path other than truth. Where you're walking. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, may your Holy Spirit move. whatever the case may be, you know what it is. The Lord's spoken to your heart. It may just be a decision to spend the next day, to start every day dying to self. In fact, if that was the case, probably all of us should be at the altar. But what's he asking of you? Let me ask you this. Did some things come flying out of your mouth recently that you know you need to go back and make right? You know, when that's pretty hard when we want the preeminence to admit that we're wrong. But the fact is, you know how it is, if someone came to you and admitted they were wrong, they probably would take a couple steps up in your esteem of them. Do right. Heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. The altar's open. The Lord's spoken to you. Would you come?